Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching focusing on living in perilous times was recorded at our 2008 Southern California Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Disobedient to parents is a sign of the end times. It's rebellion. The Lord told, through Samuel, told Saul, rebellion is as witchcraft and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Rebellion is as witchcraft. There are some people that would never have a Ouija board in their home. They would never let people hold seances. If your kids wanted to have somebody over and hold a seance and cast spells, you would hit the ceiling. And yet rebellion will be tolerated. And rebellion is as witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And that has become accepted in our culture. It's even encouraged. People pride themselves on their rebellious attitude. Man, we could spend a lot of time on that. I'm not making much progress. Notice the next thing, unthankful. Did you know that being unthankful is a sign of the end times? Many of us have grown up in a culture that is unthankful. They don't appreciate what they've got. All they do is find something to gripe about, criticize. They're always going to look for something negative. They aren't thankful for what they have. It has become so commonplace that most of us don't even recognize that this is something that is wrong. And yet it's a sign of ungodly. Notice that unthankful is right in between disobedient to parents and unholy. It's listed in the same thing with all of these other things that are wrong. Being unthankful is an ungodly trait. And yet there's people that they go in, and I've been with pastors before, that you go out to eat and they order something and they send it back 3 and 4 times. That's not an exaggeration. Jamie and I have been with people, I mean, send it back 3 and 4 times, get the manager come out and just throw a fit. Now, I'm not saying that if something's wrong, like I found a cigarette in one of my enchiladas one time. You know what? I believe that it's appropriate to say something if something happens, but there are a lot of people that they treat people like trash. They don't even say thank you when they get something. You treat people like they're nothing. You know, if you would just be thankful, if you'd just be kind. It says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, God's kind of love is kind. Kind. You'd stand out like a healed thumb in our society. If you just were thankful to people, if you just went out of way every time somebody does something, if they wait on you, if somebody does something, say thank you. Bless them. Try and encourage somebody else. You'd be amazed what would happen. I remember going out with a group of pastors one time. We were at a truck stop about 1 o'clock in the morning after a meeting. And there was a waitress that she was a nice waitress. She didn't do anything wrong. But I just felt like that this woman just needed a hug or something. She just needed some encouragement. And so I acted like I was going to the bathroom. You got to fight with preachers to get the bill. And so I acted like I was going to the bathroom. As I did, I gave her the money and I said, "You can keep it. I paid for the meal." And boy, she came running back in a few minutes to our table and she says, "You meant to give me a $5 tip. You gave me a $50 tip. And it was only like, I don't know, $15 for the 3 of us or something." She says, "You made a mistake. You gave me a $50. And I said, "No, I just felt like the Lord just wanted to say that He loves you and I just wanted to bless you. You just acted like you needed to be encouraged. I just said thank you." And you know what? This woman just looked at me, started crying, sat down. She was working 3 jobs. She was a single mother. She says, "I was just feeling like, God, you don't even care anything about me." And she says, "You'll never know." And the 3 of us just sat down, led the lady to the Lord. That was cheap. I spend millions of dollars being on television and radio, $50 to see a person born again, super cheap. If we would just say thanks, if you'd just be polite to somebody. I had one of my secretaries one time that we had people coming to a meeting and they were getting accommodations and our secretary was handling the accommodations. And I walked through and she was sitting at her desk crying. And I said, "What's the matter?" And she says, "I just got off the phone and this guy just raked me over the coals and told me terrible things because he didn't like the way that we had handled his accommodations." And it happened to be a person that I knew. So I called him right back. And I said, "What are you doing? My secretary is sitting here in tears because of the way you treat her." He says, "Hey, I didn't mean anything. It's just the squeaky wheel gets the oil. That's just the way you do business. I wanted her to know that I wanted better treatment." And I said, "You know what? You can say whatever you want to, but that is ungodly. Here's a woman who was trying to help you, and maybe she didn't do everything right, but you treat her like dirt." I said, "How dare you do that?" There's a lot of people that, well, that's that, you know, it's their job. You know, at an airline counter, Jamie and I went up to an airline counter and they canceled a flight to save them money. Rebooked all of us, had to put us in a hotel. We were headed to England, Washington, D.C. They had to put us into a hotel. It was super inconvenient. And we stood in line for 2 hours and people were yelling at this woman and just letting her have it. And there was tempers flying, bad things happening. We got up there and the first thing I said to this lady, I said, "Look," I said, "I don't like what happened, but you know what? You didn't do this." I said, "I'm not mad at you." I said, "I'm sorry for the way that other people have treated you." I said, "It's not you, it's your bosses that did this." And I said, I just want to work this out and do the best we can. But I complimented her and just said, "I thank you for putting up with all these people that treated you that way." That woman just looked at me stunned. And you know what she did? She put us in nice accommodations, gave us all of the things, and the next day upgraded us to first class, and we got to fly across the Atlantic first class and took care of us and blessed us just because somebody treated her nice. I bet you there's people right here in this auditorium that you treat people like dirt. Well, I got rights. Yo, self-centered, arrogant, proud, unthankful, unholy person. This world isn't all about you. I read in Reader's Digest about, people were standing in line at an airline thing and there was 100 people in line. And this guy just pushes to the front and started putting his stuff up there and wanted people to wait on him. And the lady said, "Sir, you're going to have to go to the back of the line." And he said, "Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am?" And he got real loud and she got on the microphone and she says, "Does anybody know who this man is? He apparently has forgotten." And he just got so humiliated he walked off. I thought that was great. But that's really what makes us act the way we do. "Do you know who I am? How dare you treat me this way?" It's not all about you. Some of you think, "Well, if I didn't promote myself, if I didn't take care of myself, people would push me around." So what? There's a lot of things more important than you. You know, we've become so self-centered, so proud, so boastful, so all of this, that, you know, today there's not very many people that are willing to make a sacrifice. We talk about the greatest generation, the World War II generation, that literally put their lives on the line, save this world from all speaking German or Japanese. Jamie's uncle died in the second wave at Iwo Jima, and they told him the first five waves, 1,000 people in each wave, the first five waves, nobody will survive. We're using you to use up all of the machine gun fire. And while they reload, maybe the fifth or the sixth wave will finally put foot on there. And those men gave their lives knowing that they were going to die. They were just drawing the fire of the enemy. I'm not sure that we have 5,000 people today in the United States that would sacrifice their lives so that other people could live. Hopefully we do. But you know what? That's the thing that made that such a great generation. These people put their lives on the line. And man, people who could have gotten deferments weren't taking them because they wanted to go out and do their part. Today, everybody's so self-centered, forget the rest of the world. Forget everybody else. Brothers and sisters, this is not the way God intended it to be. This is rampant, and people are doing all of these things we're speaking against, and yet they still go to church. They still look like Christians, but they deny the power of it. And the Lord said, turn away from them. It's pretty strong statements. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. You know what, just for time's sake, I'm not going to read all this stuff, but what that boils down to is the Greek natural affection here is talking about love for family. This isn't talking about homosexuality or something like that. It's talking about that people don't even love their own kin. And man, can we see that? Families have broken down. People don't even love their own family members. Man, it used to be that a woman just had something inside of them that caused them to love their offspring, that if everything else failed, the love of a mother would survive. And today, man, we see people all of the time that are forsaking their own kids, selling their kids, pimping their kids, doing anything. It's a sign of the end times. It's they don't even love their own kin without natural affection. Truce breakers. People, man, how could anybody miss this? We nearly have more lawyers than we have people. Because today, nobody's word counts for anything. And even if you have a contract, that doesn't mean anything if you have a good lawyer. You can be guilty of murder. Have all of the evidence against you, and if you got a good lawyer, you can get off. I didn't mention that name, but that's who I was thinking of.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on how to live through perilous times. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Southern California Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM232 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the first teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
Once again, I'd like to encourage you to take advantage of what we call the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. This is actually my footnotes on over 9,000 verses in the Bible. It's in a Bible program. You get three versions of the Bible with that. You get 4 Bible dictionaries and commentaries, and mine is one of them. And the reason we call it a living commentary is because as I write footnotes every month, there are updates available. We have a sample of this on our website, so I'd like to direct you to that. You could actually check it out and see, and you could sign up right online. But check out the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. I think it's going to be a tremendous blessing to you.